Sarah writes, that's little Sarah, I had an emotional breakdown in reaction to this. I cried and cried and called Bob to cry to him that he had to tell Ion to tell JW, thank you. That's nice. So, little Sarah's requesting a seminar. Well, we could have a good seminar if Big Sarah called in. We haven't talked to Big Sarah in years and, well, months, and she's got a lot to say. Oh, look at this. 484, that's a new number. Pennsylvania, you want to speak?
Why would you want to talk to me, Bob? I'm Jim.
Yeah, there's no way I want to talk to Jimbo. He's a heroin junkie whack job who can't remember anything past summer of 67 when he saw Frank Zappa at the Garrick Theater and he forgot to go up and talk to him in the afternoon. So, Jim never recovered from that, did you, Jimbo?
Well, I'm totally worthless. I mean, after 67.
Yeah, right, you are.
Forget it. I didn't learn anything after 67.
That's right. Know. Yeah. You had to keep the intensity up by putting on the whole universe by taking junk. That's better than LSD.
You know, I actually wanted to send you an email asking you for your 54 McLuhan quotes. And then I have to qualify it by saying I know I have not presented myself as a student of Jobstown or even Iandam. In fact, I'm quite an outsider who's been an outsider for, what, six or seven years. And I mean, I'm so slow. And
you're just here for flirting. You just flirt with the women. Half of them you piss off. So I don't know how well you're doing on that.
No, they don't like me, Bob. They do not like me.
Well, modern women don't like people who are down on themselves. So,
hey, did you ever study Gurdjieff's body types that with the Enneagram?
I looked at that. Like, yes.
Okay, so you looked
years
at
ago.
Lunar.
You know,
mercurial.
I met Gurdjieff. You know, as a kid. You know, I met Gurdjieff in my diary.
You met everyone, man. You met everyone.
I've been inside everyone, man.
Yeah.
I'm the discarded of Prince of the Air.
You are Prince? Is that high enough? I mean, come on, Prince.
That's Satan,
isn't
Lucifer.
Higher?
He's called Prince of the Air.
Oh,
that's what I meant. Oh, look, here's Sarah Courtney, Jim. We're going to have to, you listen to this lady. This is one of these bright women who pretended to be a bureaucrat or whatever she does in her job, but that's not what she is. And what's her name? Susanna can testify that. How you doing, Sarah? You must have some ideas. What have you been studying? What could you turn Jim on to? Jimbo.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Big Sarah.
Oh, okay. I was just listening to all the stuff on Bill's intro.
What's that? Bill's intro?
I miss you guys.
What's that? What's Bill's intro?
It's like you are, press *5 if you want to. I didn't hear any of what you said. I just came in at the last moment.
Well, I said that, I'm talking to Jimbo, who's complaining about himself here, and I said, well, I see I had requested Sarah Courtney. She's now here, so I was just saying, we got to talk to Sarah here, Jimbo. And so, Sarah, you can tell us what you've been studying the last 4 or 5 months, and Jimbo, I'm pretty sure will profit from it.
I'll take notes.
Yeah.
I'll take notes.
And I want to say this, Sarah, before you start, Sarah, Jimbo did transcribe a Zappa performance of his orchestral music, 1961, at St. Mary's College in L.A.
60,
very
62.
Important. 62?
Ah.
And I read some of it on the Zappa series. I think I read all of it. It's very, very good work he's done. And you did
somewhere
recently.
Hey, Bob, I read that area is near Brentwood, where the Manson...
Yes.
No, not the Manson. I'm sorry.
O.J.
The football player, I'm sorry.
O.J.
O.J. Simpson, Brentwood, near where Zappa had his concert, sorry.
Well, you know, listen to this, Jim, but when we stayed with our friend in... May 2008, on our way to Maui, we stayed at a friend of Carolyn's, and it was right on the corner of a street that was that street that O.J. Either killed the woman there or he lived there. I can't remember which one it was. It was just down the corner from us. And that's when I talked to Corbin on the radio, on the phone, and I played them recently, my Corbin conversations. But, no, I have a good image in my mind right now of that street because we stayed there for a couple of weeks before we went to Maui.
Isn't that where they found a white woman who was nearly decapitated and a white man who similarly was disposed?
Are you talking about the O.J. murders?
Yeah.
They were sliced, right, Sarah? Big Sarah, they were kind of cut. I don't know if their heads were not cut off.
I don't know. I didn't get into that very much. I don't know.
Well, better not
raising a family. Raising a family. Well, I recommend really good TV show. One of the best this year is American Mystery. You go there, and then it's all about O.J., but it's about the people around him, like what happened to the clerk, the prosecuting attorney, what happened friends, the Garmatians or Kardashian guy.
I do want to watch that, yes.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Well, does America do this American Mystery?
Yes, it's a show called, right, Sarah? It's called American Mysteries, and they do something every while. And the recent one, if you put in American Mystery in primewire.ag, it will come up the O.J. one.
Oh, okay.
Recently. And it's very, there was a review of it at the time. It said, this is the best show of the year so far because it does not focus on O.J., which is just an obvious thing. There's a bit of an O.J. background, but they talk about, show the effects on society and on these individuals who got involved with the course.
You're definitely not talking about this piece that was put together with John Travolta and other similar people.
Travolta played the main lawyer.
You are talking about.
Yeah, have you seen that?
Sorry, I didn't realize this is what you are talking about. Apologize.
Well, that's half your problem, Jim. You are always a bit out of sync since '67. You know, you don't know what's going on.
Bob's ahead of himself and Jim is behind himself.
Yeah, this is an interesting point. You're in between, Sarah, a guy who lives ahead of himself and a guy who lives behind himself. Now, that's an interesting sandwich.
Well, I told you, I was a dunce when it came to Dobbstown and maybe the Dunciad. I don't know what a Dunciad is. I don't know what it is. I'm not smart enough to know that.
Now, listen, Jim, it's Alexander Pope's famous anti-printing press, first study of the effects of media. 1742 was the final portion of it. It's written
so it was
about
actually
detail.
A study.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a big, long poem. And it's about, he kept updating it, Alexander Pope, final version of both 1742, and McLuhan does a big section on it at the end of the Gutenberg Galaxy, and then James Joyce comes along with Finnegan's Wake, 200 years later, 1942, and completes what Pope started with the Dunciad.
And they're all trying to shed light.
Gutenberg Galaxy point. What?
Yeah. Well, they're all trying to shed light for us, right? They want to introduce light for us.
No, well, I would concentrate on one sense. They want to create synesthesia for us, anomalies. Mm-hmm. The printing press diminished people's comprehensive reception to anomalies, right, Sarah? Sarah knows that much. She used to hang out with Ted Carpenter. Yeah, she used to hang out with Ted Carpenter. She went to the jungles of Peru with him. Oh, no, it was Patagonia, New Zealand or something. What was the name of that place?
Papua
New Guinea.
Did Sarah know Ted?
Wait a minute, Jim, let Sarah speak. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sarah.
I was walking down the streets of New York this past week with Ted Carpenter and Culkin and McLuhan. I was trying to put myself in that time frame.
Were you, like, looking into it or reading about it or something?
No, I was there in New York, and I was on the, like, around 36th Street, where Tony Schwartz's studio was, and so I was walking down the street, and I felt like I was in that moment where
those recordings.
They were all walking down this street, Because it
no,
all,
see, you
it,
should have told
building,
me, because I would have turned you on to Harold Channer, who lives on West 36th Street. You could have gone up to Harold, he would have received you, and he would have had a lot. He was a great fan of McClooney. He met McClooney, knew Ted Carby, knew everybody. And, he interviews everybody. You could have gone to see him. Yeah, you should always tell me you're going to New York. You could be part of Bob's world.
You could have been a contender.
Yeah, you could have been part of the hologram.
Start crying, Sarah.
You blew your vacation.
You could have looked after me. I could have been something.
Yeah, you could have been something.
No,
you could have been. You would have been interviewed on Harold Channer's show. He'll interview anybody. You show up, you have an interesting conversational building.
That would
he'll
be cool.
And he had a studio right in his apartment, in his floor. And who lives up the street?
And you know who lived just up the floor below or floor above
was Ornette Coleman. He died, but he was there for decades. Back to what you're saying. You got what? What were you saying?
I got to have dinner with Eliza. So it was great.
Eliza. Who's Eliza?
She's a New York lady.
I know how to press Carol's button. Do you hear that?
I'm a Middle Eastern
descent. Hey, Jim. We're talking Sarah here for a second. Do you hear Carol laughing, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So you met Eliza. Well, that must have been quite an experience.
She's gorgeous.
Who did she complain about? Like, what crap did she say about me? What is she upset about?
She's the current Cleopatra. She looks like Cleopatra. I couldn't take my eyes off her.
Sorry, I have a question for you.
No, I understood she was beautiful. I think Akito told me that. She looks like a
gorgeous.
All Ionettes are beautiful, Sarah.
I know.
You know that.
Yeah. She's really glowing from the drops.
From the drops. Imagine someone listening to this. Yeah, I took the drops. Drop kick myself into paradise.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim, you want to say something, Jim? What, you want to say something like thoughtful?
From Eliza's voice, in my mind, she looks like Kalinda in The Good Wife. That's my vision of Eliza.
Yeah.
That's how I picture her.
Very good.
Put darker brows and more striking features on her face, her eyes, and her nose.
So she's even more beautiful than Kalinda on The Good Wife.
More beautiful than Kalinda, yeah.
Okay. I can only imagine.
You couldn't even speak, right? You're just dumbfounded,
no.
Staring at this face.
I was just like, oh, my God.
Did you meet in a restaurant? You just walked into a restaurant?
Queen of Queens.
Yeah,
we met.
But when you walked in, did you meet in a restaurant? Did you have to see her at a table?
We met on the corner of the street, and then we went to the restaurant. But
How long did you wait on the corner?
Not long.
Did she have a picture of you?
No.
How do you know?
I don't know. We just knew.
You just looked at each other. They both looked at each other and then locked eyes and then said hi.
You must have had that experience.
Oh, yeah.
About meeting Ionette.
I bet you both said, where's Bob? You expected me to be there.
Yeah.
But
we wanted to watch with you.
What?
Wanted to people watch with you on the subway.
Oh, that would have been good. Now, here's the thing. Eliza's voice does not make one think that image you just said. Her voice
Come I know. But she is a fucking warrior and an amazing woman. And don't pay attention to her voice.
Right. What is that voice? It's a little childish or youthful? What is it about her voice?
I don't know. It just may be the translation of her language into English. I don't know.
Right. Now, does she have to be a warrior at work? Did she tell you about that?
I don't know, but she has to be a warrior to live in that city because I was there for 4 days, and I was like, happy to come home to my little podunk existence.
Yeah, right, you didn't get off on the so-called energy of New York?
Yeah, it's intense. I put on an event there, and it's hard. Everything is hard. Everything is difficult.
Actually, my experience, Carolyn's experience, is that New Yorkers, the ones who live there, are pretty friendly. They make it, but I don't know what would be hard other than the taxis, the subway, the avoiding bumping into people. Is that what you mean? Or you don't like the people that came to your event?
No, it's just that, you know, just to get ice delivered is a big production. You know,
is
like
that right?
If you're having an event, it's just there's a lot of little probably idiosyncrasies that only New Yorkers know, and then outsiders come in and try to do it, and it's difficult.
Right. So what was the event, can you say?
Well, it's just something that I had for my university alumni, all the people that are working up there.
You mean for the, it was the alumni, people who went to your university met.
Yeah.
It was a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that must have been interesting.
Yeah, it was good.
Did you watch them greet each other, people they hadn't seen in 20, 30 years? Did you observe the emotion?
It was a lot of young people, and they didn't know each other. I mean, these were a bunch of people that live in New York that a few people knew each other, but not many of them knew each other. So they were all meeting for the first time.
And they were... including what?
Including Don Lemon, like... you know,
the actor? I know that name. Don Lemon came out.
No, he's not an actor. He's a news guy, CNN.
Yeah, I saw that name this week somehow. What did he do? Maybe he interviewed Trump or somebody. Yeah,
I
never knew the name.
He's an outrageous kind of, he's a very ironic guy. I don't know. He says crazy things, and he's getting.
Would he have been on a Saturday Night Live skit?
I don't know. But there was a Saturday Night Live in there.
Yeah, they imitated Rachel Maddow and the guy, Hardball guy.
Yeah. I don't know.
And they had fakes. Actually, it might be fun to play that. That was pretty interesting. And then they had a fake Donald Trump and a fake Sanders, and they were all getting interviewed. But I think the name Don Lemon showed up in the middle of it. Not sure, but I did see that name this week. So he was there.
He works for CNN. He says crazy things like he's trying to brand himself, you know, beyond being just some commentator for CNN. He wants to just be branded himself. And so he's one of the people that said that, maybe like when that plane crash happened in Russia or wherever it was, the Matthew Hurtado one, he said, maybe
the Matthew Hurtado one. What's that? The Matthew Hurtado plane crash?
Yeah, MH whatever.
here's what it is. Did this just happen today or something? I don't know.
No. It happened a long time ago. But back then, he said maybe the plane went to a parallel world. And he
Lemon.
Yeah, he said.
Yeah,
that.
I now know. Carolyn just showed me. I just saw when Larry Wilmore emceed the dinner, the press dinner, a month or two ago, a guy flipped him the finger, and I saw that, and that was Don Lemon.
That was Don Lemon.
Yeah, the fellow Black Caucus guy, he could finger another Black guy. No white guy could do that. No Chinese guy could. Well, maybe a Chinese. Would the Chinese even do it? No, Chinese won't. They don't know how to do it. But the Don Lemon got away with it.
I don't know if he got away with it or not. But.
But what's this about Matthew Hurtado and a Russian plane crash? Did you make a mistake there? Why get that out of my mind?
No.
Why did you say that?
A year ago, there was a plane crash, and Ion said that the people on the plane went to China.
Oh, that's the AIDS thing.
And so back then, Don Lemon said about that flight, maybe the plane went to a parallel world.
Wow.
Because they couldn't.
Holy mackerel.
You know.
And that did. It did.
And what about.
Yeah.
And how? Why you bring up Hurtado?
I don't know. That's what Ion said. It was MH360 or something.
Oh, yeah, the number, the Malaysian airline.
Yeah.
Or something, yeah. Had his initial. And Ion said, Matthew Hurtado for the MH, he pointed that out?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Carolyn, it's the one that the AIDS, you got to put in AIDS scientists disappear. I don't know that was a Malaysian plane. See, don't worry about that one, Joan.
Go. I want you to say the word supernatural.
Wonders whether something. Oh, Don Lemon wondered whether something supernatural happened to the Malaysian plane. Yeah, the word. He said the word supernatural. So you would put in AIDS scientists die in plane. And we'll see if it's a Malaysian plane. Yeah, MH17. There it is. You're right. Yeah, Matthew Hurtado's number 17.
And Doug Tidwell, though, said MH370.
There was another one.
Doug is the best customer service person ever.
Really? What does he do?
Yeah, because I screwed up my order, and he immediately called me when I emailed back, and he fixed it. I'm the worst customer ever. He's the best customer service person ever.
And you've irritated a lot of people. As a customer?
I don't know. I put the wrong stuff in. I click too fast. I don't see if everything's right.
Right. So you're saying you're impressed with the speed he got back to you.
Oh, my God. Immediately. Yes. Instantaneous.
Wow. So he came in. Did he call you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I emailed and said I wanted to fix this, and he immediately called me back, and I thought, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Right, but he saw your email. It's implied he knew
your email. I guess because it doesn't tell me that it's Doug, but it's just going back to RNA reset.
Yeah, but you implied that you made a mistake, and Doug saw the mistake. He could tell there was a mistake before you told him. Before you emailed him.
I don't know. He just said he was going to fix it immediately, and I said, thank you.
Yeah, and he did.
Great.
So, Jim, did you want to say something, Jim, since you were on the line here?
Oh, thanks for the chance, but no, I don't have anything as good as this. So, continue, please.
All right, well, I think it would be interesting if Corbin came on and Sarah talked to Corbin. That might be an interesting pairing.
Yeah.
Come on, Corbin, if you're awake. Meanwhile, wasn't that an awesome 3 hours of music I played? Wasn't that incredible?
Yes.
But I really enjoyed it.
There were a couple people saying this is the best thing ever happened, or the best music night, the best.
There was too much techno, electronic music.
Well, there was a lot because I found a place to go get some.
I figured.
And no, it's interesting. It's KCRW in Los Angeles. Jerry Fiocchi used to call it KCRW. So I go there if I want to see what's going on right now, and they have all their playlists. And I hit I guess I got a DJ that had all was featuring that kind of music. So I just started listening to it all. I said, well, let's intersperse this. But I had to make sure I got other music to bounce it off. But you've never heard me do that techno kind of stuff so much. And maybe some
people
like it.
I'm not surprised you got it out of L.A. because that's what Eben has been listening to and going to for years, the little mini raves and techno music.
Well, I think it's all over the place. I don't know if it's in L.A. particularly, but maybe. We haven't heard from Eben in weeks or months. Like, where is she? She could answer that question. But back to you, Sarah.
You know that,
the
piece that you played of Frank's called Pigs Have Wings, that sounds very electro kind of electronic music. It's really pretty. I love that piece. I just love it.
How did you find that? I have not heard that in decades. I don't even know about it.
I searched for Frank for President, and it was attached to that. And so I thought maybe you would play it after you played the Frank for President thing that was just a few seconds long. But
I did do that.
No, but I put the link in later, and you played it again. You played it.
Right, I played the President thing, then got the music later, then played the music, then played
Pigs Have Wings. It's just, Pigs Have Wings is just beautiful. It's just so...
Do you know what the title is from? You know where the title? It's on Lumpy Gravy, which has 1967 mixed media, electronics, voices, and that. Some voice says Pigs with Wings. They just said, somebody's trying to describe something, and the guy goes, pigs with wings, which it turned out is something from, a fairy tale, from Alice in Wonderland or one of those kind of 19th century stories. I didn't know
something
that.
When people say, when pigs fly, when pigs fly or something.
And it's in their, one of the children's stories, the Alice in Wonderland kind of stuff. And the other one, what's the other one? The Emerald City one.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz. It's that kind of stuff. Pigs with Wings. So somebody says that in Lumpy Gravy, and then he's developed it. Doug says, Sarah emailed customer support, and I read the email and called her. Oh, okay, so it's the speed with which he responded.
It was so great. Because I put the
and look at him speedily answering the dilemma right now.
Right now, he's on top of it.
No,
he did. He answered it at 8:42, which is 5 minutes ago, and then 2 minutes later he spelled it out. But he put a smile there first at what Sarah was saying, and then 2 minutes later he said, Sarah emailed customer support, and I read the email and called her. So he's right on it.
Yeah.
But we should just...
Doug's a bomb.
Yes, and we should just remind us what Frank said. It's pretty funny.
The way I look at it, take a look at the people who have been presidents in the United States so far. Could I do any worse? If I didn't know shit from Shinola, could I do any worse?
That was too loud. I couldn't hear it. It was too loud.
What do you mean it was too loud?
It was so loud that it could not be discerned. The words could not be discerned because of the volume.
Well, then they weren't loud. What do you mean? It wasn't loud. What are you talking about?
All right.
Turn down your phone.
Turn down your phone.
All right. Thank you.
Too loud.
No, it seemed like an okay volume.
Yeah. It's actually muffled because he's got something going on behind him. But he said, everybody's been so dumb as president, how could he? And he said, I think he says, even if I didn't know shit from Shinola, or that he did not know shit from Shinola, therefore how could he? How could he
how
be
could
as bad as any
first?
Other president? He says, how could?
Yeah. And I saw something on Google today that that in July they're going to release a new song from the archives or whatever this vault is.
Yes. The Zappa Vault. It's a famous vault.
Yeah,
it's got hundreds of thousands of recordings.
It's going to be called Frank for President. They're going to release a new song in July called Frank for President.
Oh, that's good. Now, you say, I'm not sure, but Moon really exposed something. It turned out that she posted around Mother's Day, which I think was a month ago, May 8th or something. Yeah. Does that make sense? Mother's Day a month ago. And incredible. She finally lets out her frustration about her mother and spells it out.
Yeah,
incredible.
I read that. I'm friends with her on Facebook.
Oh, so she did post it on her Facebook page? Because I went there and couldn't see
it. She's pretty forthcoming on her Facebook page.
Hey, fix your phone, Sarah. You're a little blurry. I don't know if you got your mic
properly.
Sorry,
I have my finger over the mic.
Well, that's stupid. Well, how could you have your...
Yeah, I got... Hey, Sarah, I got to read you the Revelation to everything. You're paying $100
So, yeah, remove your hand. What's that? That sounds like something. Remove your...
Step away from the microphone.
Yeah, you just have to get the frequency.
Yeah,
that's
sorry.
Right. Step away from the microphone.
Wrong.
But back to this thing. Back to Eliza. Did we finish the point about Zappa? Oh, yeah, we're going to go over that moon unit thing later. Because you should go back and look at that if you can and tell me if it's still there. Because I went and looked on her Facebook page. I didn't see it. I thought maybe she took it down. Yeah, check where you saw it and see if it's still there. Maybe she took it down.
Yeah, I'm looking at her Facebook page right now, and she posts a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah, it gets busy. I didn't see that a few months ago when I went there. I was looking at her Twitter, and it wasn't that busy, but boy, she's very busy right now on her Facebook page, and maybe she has.
Yeah.
I had not noticed that.
She posts these things called, like, Monday moments or something. And so every Monday she posts something, but I haven't seen it for the last couple of weeks. But in one of those, she said, she was talking about, you know, her daughter's name is being, you know, I don't know, sort of.
What is it?
Captivated by, I don't know, the Zappa family or whatever, her being, I don't know.
Wait a minute, you're talking about Moon Unit's daughter.
Yeah, her name is being copyrighted by the Zappa family. Her daughter's name, and I don't even know what her daughter's name is, but.
Well, I'll Google it, Moon Unit's daughter. See what comes up. Matilda Plum Doucette. Matilda Plum Doucette is her name.
Is that something from a song or?
No, I don't know it at all. Never heard of it.
There are books about Matilda, a young detective girl, I think.
The one in the hotel in New York?
I didn't read them. I don't know.
Yeah, they have one child. She married Paul Doucette, former drummer and current rhythm guitarist for American pop group Matchbox 20 in June 2002. They have one child, Matilda Plum Doucette, born on Zappa's birthday, December 21st, 2004.
Oh. So therefore can be copywritten. The child is copywritten because it's born on Zappa's birthday.
Yeah.
Everything to do with Zappa
is
copywritten trademark.
That's what Gail did. Yeah, anything to do with the mustache, everything.
Yeah.
And it said Zappa filed for divorce in January 2012, so together 10 years, finalized in 2014. Zappa briefly dated comedian and podcast host Marc Maron. That's this Marc Maron guy a few months ago. I didn't know about him, but he is the top podcast, very popular right now. He interviews, I think, a lot of comedians, and he interviewed her, and I think I heard that they were together for a while, yes. So, but when you read what she has to say about her mother, it's pretty shocking. I mean, the insiders like myself knew about it.
In her post, she says, I could tell you the harrowing story about the time my dad moved an Australian groupie into the basement and how this resulted in some hilarious struggles with my dating life as I tried to make
with
sense
my
of
my what?
Upbringing.
My dating a life? Like, what's it? Trouble with my
dating? Dating life.
Her dating life. Moon's dating life.
Yeah, her dating life. As I tried to make sense of my upbringing and choose parental sides, to be a transparent cheater like my dad,
answering the hedonistic call of one's nature, or to be a faithful, spiritually superior, rageaholic doormat like my mother. Maybe oh. I have found a happy medium now, or perhaps a large. Isn't that funny?
That's all been laid out.
Right. You know Alan Cabal? You know the columnist Alan Cabal that we were sending our company? He's been using ionic phrases. Every sprinkle throughout his column. He may be listening or...
This is so crazy because I listened to What Youth on Wednesday after I got back and from New York, and it was such an amazing show. You guys were just hitting on some things for me that were really topical. The whole time thing and... you know, like, you read Cabal, and you read McLuhan, and you read Joyce, and Tom
Pynchon. I read you.
And you hear all, in all of that, you hear the ionic stuff. I mean, like, I hear ionic stuff in everything. I mean, you've been talking about with Cameron McLuhan, I listened to that first hour, and you guys were talking, he was talking about time. And
yeah, he didn't know that he's doing ion, Cameron.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
He didn't know.
Now you said Cameron McLuhan. His name is McEwen, but it's very close to McLuhan.
Yeah.
And he is the greatest McLuhan scholar right now. I don't know if you read some of his stuff, but it's incredible what he's done.
Yeah, it's really good.
No, Bob,
really
you are.
Good.
Yes,
you
but
are.
I don't need, he needs a role. I'm the fucking most incredible human ever lived, so I'm not going to specialize in one little holy office. You know, I can
you
let
know
someone
what's
else
great, though,
have it.
About you talking to Cameron is that he is meeting you where you are. Like when you talk to Derek, you always have the one up on Derek. I mean, you always get the last word, and he's like, oh wow, he's so amazed every time you say anything. And so, and with Cameron, he's really taking you on head to head. It's really good.
Yeah, he can even argue with
love
me.
Love it. Yeah,
he can even,
I love it.
Yeah, he's not thrown, but you know, Ed posted today, Cameron's statement about me, which I had forgotten about. I don't know when that happened. I guess it may be in his blog. He made a statement about me, and it was a pretty good statement. You want me to read that? Let's just bring that up. It's a good statement. So just a second. I'll go over there. I hope we're not taking time away from you, Jimbo. Anything you want to say?
No,
you're just fascinated. Okay, here's what Cameron wrote this. I mean, Ed's probably looking through and he just found it because Cameron writes about a lot of different things he's been doing for a few years. And he says, it's the top item right now on Ian and Bob. He says, Bob Dobbs has contributed a series of insights and methods which together constitute a kind of preliminary test that McLuhan research must pass before serious work can begin. Well, that's pretty neat, eh? A series of insights and methods that you must, if you're not, you can't get your PhD until you somehow know what I'm doing. He says, it is telling, in brackets, of the age and of the place of the academy within the age. So it is telling of the age and of the place of the academy within the age that few, if any, McLuhan researchers have taken this test, let alone passed it. That's true. Notably, Bob has done his homework and has advanced beyond, actually behind, simplistic processing in the rearview mirror. So Cameron's always including the paradox. So he has to have the beyond and the behind, right? If you look at his writing style, he includes all times. So I've advanced beyond simple processing in the rearview mirror and behind it. These seemingly rudimentary steps to research in any area already distinguish him from the great mass of media researchers who have seldom read more than a fraction of McLuhan's output and have never jettisoned commonplaces concerning the nature of human beings and of space and time and language that McLuhan himself never ceased questioning and certainly never accepted as foundational for, as is frequently vouched, extending our knowledge. And he spells knowledge, N-O-L-E-D-G-E, knowledge. Do that again. These seemingly rudimentary steps to research in any area already distinguish Bob from the great mass of media researchers who have seldom read more than a fraction of McLuhan's output and have never jettisoned commonplaces concerning the nature of human beings and of space and time and language that McLuhan himself never ceased questioning and certainly never accepted as foundational for, as is frequently vouched, foundational for extending our knowledge. And then he says, doubtless nudged by Toronto sociologist philosopher John O'Neill's fine book, Five Bodies, 1985, which is not true. I correct that in the recording. Now, we did 3 hours and 15 minutes, but the last 15 minutes got knocked out. Our phones were being harassed by something, so.